They got these newfangled gadgets. I ain't used to that. Most of the time I speak in public a lot and have over the last number of years. That's not bothering me. That don't make me nervous. Getting up here preaching God's words makes me nervous. I guess I should. I told my call last Sunday. I gave my testimony last Sunday, but this is my church. I was saved in the old sanctuary over there in August of 1979. Back then, the revival seemed to last 2 weeks in duration. And it had ended on that Sunday night, or that Saturday night, I should say, before I was saved on Sunday. And when I was saved, it seemed like the weight of the world had come off me. I can't speak of your experience, but I can tell you that sin weight lifted. And I felt like I was walking around about that high off the ground. And that someone had them open the door to the church. And they had already had a baptizing scheduled for that day. And the Lord moved on me and I joined church that day. And immediately left the church and we went to baptizing. So that's kind of unique, I guess, in today's world. When I was saved, joined church and baptized all on the same day. And this is the only church that I've ever been a member of. Most of you know I spent a career in the military and went all over the world. God called me to preach in Valdosta, Georgia, in my living room. I was in prayer, meditation, and he said, "And now you'll preach my word." And I said, "Not me. Not me." And I meant it. If anybody's interested to know how long ago that was, it was 24 years ago this past May. I took more spiritual whippings and missed out on more blessings than a man ought to be. Up here on the altar, during an altar prayer in the spring revival of 2010, the Lord had been after me for many years to preach His Word. And I said, "Lord, if You'll save my brother, I'll preach Your Word." A few weeks later, my brother was in a horrible accident. And as a result of that accident, he came under conviction and got saved. The Lord brought that to my attention, and I'm still saying, "Not me. Not me." He's reminded me of that call at every turn for the last many, many years. And I thought to take that to the grave with me. I thought to take it to the grave with me. But I'm in Murfreesboro last Friday night. And my wife called me in an absolute panic. She said, "Mike, the house is coming apart. Sounds like the roof's coming off. It sounds like the roof is coming apart." And she's in the bathroom and she's scared to death and I'm powerless. And he brought to mind just how easy it would be for him to take her away from me because of my disobedience. And I yielded to that call. Therefore, I'm here. What's left of me? This is probably going to be the simplest sermon you've ever heard in your life. I got a brother-in-law named Kenny Hessen. He said the best sermons he ever preached was the ones between the time he was called and the time he stood for the first time. And I believe he knows what he's talking about. Because I am absolutely scared to death about what I'm fixing to do. Y'all pray for me. I told Brother Waylon yesterday, I said, "Pray for me." He said, "Y'all already have been." That meant more than you know. That meant more than you know. I heard a sermon many, many years ago preached on this scripture by Brother G.W. Knight right here in this church. And I love and respect G.W. more than he knows. About 4 weeks ago, my Uncle Roger's preaching a sermon out here at this graveyard. And he preached on disobedience. And after the sermon, my wife leaned over and said, "You think he's preaching to you?" See, she knowed. She's the only one that knows, but she knowed. So in my own weak way, I'll do the best I can. If you want a scriptural basis or a scripture, we're going to go over to the 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, starting with the first verse. And this is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. And he said, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." There was a business here in Lafayette yesterday that celebrated 100 years of being in business. Do you think that business would have been in operations if it had not had sound fundamental of all those years that he had operated under some sound fundamental principles? They went through, I don't know, they went through a World War II, went through the Great Depression, and 100 years later, they're still in operation. These piano players and organ players over here, they play with such grace and beauty. But in order to play as good as they do, they had to first learn the fundamentals. No matter how good they get, they have to learn the fundamentals first. And from the fundamentals, they can build upon that to get better. But they can never get away from the fundamentals. These athletes that play ball, that are good at the sport that they play, they must first be good at the fundamentals. If they develop a fault, if they develop a problem in playing the piano, playing that sport, and they peel that back, they go back and they look at the fundamentals, and they find where that they let a fundamental slip. Fix the fundamental, and they fix the problem. Now here's Paul addressing the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth is in trouble. They've got problems. They've got division in the church. Factions, as you would say. They've got, we call that in nowadays terms, I guess you might say, they got cliques in the church. They got cliques in the church. And that's always operating from a power base. They've got misuse of the Lord's Supper. They got folks that are abusing the Lord's Supper. They've got an issue of incest going on in the church. And Paul tells them, Paul opens up every letter that he writes, all 13 letters that he writes, with a salutation, and he gives them a prayer of thanksgiving. And then he identifies some of the problems. I think the division in the church hurt him the most. And then he said to them, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Paul was a wise man. He was a very smart man. But he pulled that church in that letter, he pulled them down to the basic doctrine of what we stand on and what we believe in, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He didn't teach them with any fancy words. He didn't have to. The power is there. The power is in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And folks say, well, Brother Mike, what are you talking about? What did He tell us over there in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew? He's talking to His disciples in the mountains after the resurrection, and He said, I have all power in heaven and earth. He didn't say, I have part of it. He said, I have it all. He said, I have all power. You think He didn't have the power to heal that church? He had the power. Jesus Christ and Him crucified has the power to heal that church. He has the power to heal any church that keeps Him as the fundamental basis of what they're standing for. It's not about anything else. It's not about all this other stuff. That's what Paul is trying to drive home here to the church at Corinth. It's not about earthly wisdom. It's about godly wisdom. It's about what He puts on your heart and what you're told to do. If you're here and He gives you something to do, and I don't care when it is, it's far more important for you to be obedient than to care about what somebody else thinks. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ. All power. All power was given unto Him. All power. If you're here and lost, you need Jesus Christ and Him crucified. As a matter of fact, He's the one you do need. He's the only one that can help you. We can pray for you. There's men of God out here, and I have full confidence in every one of them, but they can't one of them save you. Not a one of you. All of them together can't save you. But there's one that has all power, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They can save you. And I ask you and I beg you, if you're lost in here today, you find you an altar. And you call on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They say, well, Brother Mike, what about Father God? Absolutely. Father God does the saving. But what did Jesus Christ tell us? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goeth to the Father except by Me. You can't get there without Him. You can't get there without Him. And that power is not just to the church, it's to us as individual Christians in our spiritual life. We got to rely on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Really? That's all we got to lean on anyway. Because it's not just fundamental, it's everything. That's everything that's based on the church. Everything is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you're here and you're having problems within your family, within your church, within your community, I can tell you somebody that's got all power. That's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you're facing addiction, alcoholism, there's somebody that can help you. There's somebody that can help you. And that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I want to thank the church for this opportunity to stand. I'd ask you to pray for me in the coming weeks or years or months or whatever He has for me to do. I can tell you that He put this scripture on me before I left here last Sunday. And He gave me the thought by Tuesday. And He's woke me up every morning this week by 3 o'clock, reminding me of what I got to preach to. And that's what He gave me. And that's all I can give you guys. God bless you. If you don't know anything else about me, I love my church. I love God. I love my wife and my family. And as old-fashioned as this sounds, I love my country. Thank you, preacher.